Hallelujah. I'm hungry for God. Hallelujah. I don't want to play church. And if we miss Jesus, we've missed the whole point. I remember growing up and sitting in church and missing the whole point. Because I was so distracted by the girls and other things around me. Don't not look so sanctified out there, right? Yeah, but you know, the devil's a thief. And he wants to rob you of what God has for you, which is superior to what you think you need for you. And how many know that the manufacturer knows the product better than the product knows itself? So we just need to submit ourselves to the manufacturer, man, and know that he's doing a work in us. And sometimes the ride on the wheel, on the potter's wheel, can get pretty rough, amen? But know this, that what God has begun in you, he will bring to completion. He's faithful. Having begun a good work in you, he is faithful to bring it to completion. Thank you, Father. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your presence today, Holy Spirit, that you've come. And Lord, that you said, like, whenever we gather together in your name, that you are here in our midst. Lord, we don't want to miss you. We don't want to miss hearing you, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would speak through me today. Grant me utterance to speak in Jesus' name. Lord, that we might receive what we need to be nourished, to be built up, to be strengthened, to be edified mutually, and to be about your work, Lord, in our day-to-day lives, Lord, as we are here to represent you now as ambassadors. So use us, Lord. We pray, fan in the flame, Lord, the gift of God in every heart. Wake up, Lord, the church in America. Bring us back to you, back to life, back to the Word of God, back to the altar, back to holiness. Purify your bride. Make us holy. Make us ready. Deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So, title of the message this morning is, are you blessed or cursed? Are you blessed or cursed? How many have ever wondered if God is really for you? When you've been going through some really rough waters, you've asked the question, God, are you still there? Are you even with me? And are you for me even? Are these things that are happening to me a sign that I'm under some kind of curse? Have you ever thought of that? Why do I constantly have these problems? They never seem to go away. Could I be under a generational curse? How many have heard of generational curses? Well, I'm hopefully today I can bring some balance to that topic and hopefully some understanding from a biblical perspective, because there's a lot of stuff that gets passed around in Christendom, amen, if you will, that's not even biblically accurate. Okay, it's not something that's supported by the witness of Scripture, amen. The examples of Jesus, the examples of the apostles. So we need to understand, you know, what God has to say about this topic, curses and blessings, generational curses. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. The only thing that's going to free us is the revelation of what is authentic, what is real, and that is the truth. Amen. And so Jesus was addressing an audience that assumed that because they were biological children of Abraham, that they were children of God. And you hear it said even today in society among many people that, well, we're all children of God. And the universal idea that we're all children of God. And actually, that's not accurate. Even Jesus said that's not true. And so let's read from John 8 and verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. How many know that the Lord wasn't about pleasing people? He spoke the truth. Amen. Every time he spoke the truth. He never lied. He never mixed it up. Amen. He never sought to please people because he knew only the truth is going to be able to help people. It's going to be able to liberate people, to set them free. And how many know the same thing is true today? If we're not teaching the truth, preaching the truth, people are not going to get free. You may make them feel good, but you're going to leave them in a broken state. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. But that doesn't that begins when we come to a realization of the truth. And so the enemy is trying to rob you from receiving the truth that can set you free and keep you free. And he uses lies to do that. And he said, verse 44 again, you're of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Speaking, right, of the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. So because the people lacked true spiritual wisdom, understanding, amen. They lacked the knowledge of the truth. They were in spiritual bondage to Satan. So Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. Now the devil can only deceive us in the areas where we lack the knowledge of the truth. Would you agree? How many here have believed the lie thinking it was true? That's deception. The enemy deceives people. He presents a lie as though it were true. Surely, you know, God is trying to hold out on you. You know, he knows in the day that you eat of this, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And so he played a game using scripture, twisting the scripture, twisting what God said to deceive Eve, right? And then Adam. And he does the same thing today as he twists the word of God to deceive us. Now, people who have an intellectual knowledge of the truth remain in spiritual bondage. In other words, you can know a lot of Bible, but be bound spiritually. Truth must be digested. It must be internalized. It's got to get from our head to our hearts. Amen? And so Jesus gave us examples of the soil types. That if a heart is not prepared, amen, it's not going to be able to receive the truth. People may know the truth intellectually. They may be able to quote scripture. They may be able to even win a Bible debate. But unless the truth is internalized and becomes a part of us, it's digested, amen, we remain in our carnal state, unchanged. So the word is only effective in those whose hearts who have been prepared to receive the word. And so God, the Holy Spirit, works on the heart of man to bring us to a place where we are receptive. It's got to move from our intellect to our heart. It's got to be received. It's got to be embraced. It's got to be cherished. People who don't appreciate the truth are not going to be changed by the truth. And if you don't love the truth, you don't love Jesus. If you're of God, then you will love to hear from God. Amen. The word of God must be received. Psalms 119:10. How many know this one? With my whole heart, I have sought you, David said. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. So wherever there's a lack of love, of joy, of peace, of goodness, or even spiritual freedom, it means that there's a lack of God because God is all these things. All these things, all these fruits come from the heart of God. Amen. Love, joy, and peace, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control, right? All these things proceed from the heart of God. So wherever there's a lack of these things, it means there's a lack of God's presence. If I lack these things in my life, I lack the presence of God. I'm not talking about the emotional, soulish love and joy and peace of the world that's conditioned upon how things are going externally around me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, I'm having a good day, you know? But God wants us to come to a place in Him where we realize that our life is not in external things, but in Him. Amen. And we can live from who He is, amen, outwardly. In that relationship we have in our spirit. For we have become, in the New Testament, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We become God's vessel. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, and we have a relationship with the Lord. Amen. In our hearts. And it's out of that relationship where the good fruit flows. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of truth, again, needs to move from our intellect to the heart. It's got to be received. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So a sign that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is the fact that you will be free from all spiritual bondage. God's desire is for His church, His people, to be free from all spiritual defilement and all spiritual bondage. He wants every one of us to walk in His perfect freedom that He has made available to us through the cross, through His sacrifice, through His shed blood, where He has dealt with the sin problem. He has dealt with the Satan problem. Amen. And He releases us from the bondage, amen, of Satan through the power of the blood and by the word of the testimony that we hear, given by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. By the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. Amen. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if I am free in my spirit, it means that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. But God's not going to cohabitate with rebellion. That means that if I have areas of rebellion towards God, towards His word, areas where I'll receive that, but I'll reject that. Amen. In the areas where I reject the truth, those are the areas where the enemy can continue to do his work. All right. And so we don't want to give any permission to the enemy to do his dirty work in our lives. Amen. Because he's only out to rob from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Amen. But the Lord came that we might have life. So God has called us to liberty. He wants us liberated from all spiritual bondage. And so that is why some believers seem to always be struggling spiritually. Because sometimes people are just bound by the devil. And sometimes life happens. Sometimes life just gets difficult. It's not necessarily that you're under demonic attack. You know, the enemy would like to think that he's taken, you know, he's doing all these things. And a lot of times we're giving credit to where credit isn't due. As a matter of fact, he wants you to be preoccupied with him anyways. The devil is a narcissist. He likes you to pay attention to him. He wants to be the center of attention. As a matter of fact, he wants to take God's place in your heart. Sometimes our struggles are the result of listening to the wrong voice. Would you agree? Some believers believe the lie that somehow they need to live under constant harassment from the devil. Yeah. The enemy will convince people that that's just the way it's going to have to be for you. You can't ever be free from that. If it's a spiritual bondage, God wants you free from it. But if the devil can lie to you and convince you that that's the way you have to live and be, then whatever you believe is what you're going to receive, and what you receive will determine how you live your life, what kind of fruit you're going to produce. How many know that our thought life is very important? We need to be thinking God's thoughts. Amen. Of course, we're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties in this world. But Jesus came that we might have life. John 10:10, how many know this one? The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do we really believe this? Do you really believe that this is possible? Amen. Because what you believe will determine what you receive. And we got to quit listening to that other voice and start listening to the voice of truth. Are we to take the words of Jesus literally? Yes. God didn't create us to be bound by fear or anxiety or depression or mental torment. God does not want us embracing these things as just being a part of who we are. No. These things, this depression, this anxiety, these fears, are you hearing me? The torment is a result of the fall. God does not want his people living in that. He wants us coming out of that, coming out of darkness and into his marvelous light, coming out of spiritual bondage into the liberty of the sons of God, amen, who have been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. God wants us completely set free, bound by no one except the Lord. Amen. Spiritual bondage is a sign that we lack the freedom that comes from knowing the truth or knowing God. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What you believe will determine what you receive. Romans 8:38, Paul said, by faith, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life happens. But Paul, by faith, declared these things because this is actually the truth. But if you don't believe this, then you'll believe God's against you. That you believe that everything is determined about how well you perform. That God's going to love you proportionate to how well you perform. Are you hearing me? Rather than God first loving you while you were yet a sinner and separated and hopeless. And in his mercy, he came and gave himself on our behalf. Amen. To redeem us to himself. And when we receive the mercy and the grace of God, it changes our hearts. Out of appreciation, we offer ourselves back to him to live the rest of our lives for him. Amen. We serve the Lord out of love, out of gratitude. We know that we cannot always avoid the things that happen to us. Amen. People die. Things break. Relationships fail. But in Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. None of us here have suffered like Paul the Apostle. And yet Paul the Apostle had such faith in his God. He knew God was with him. He knew God was for him. And he knew God was the one who had rescued him, had saved him, and had raised him up, amen, and given him even a position, hallelujah, in the kingdom to represent him. I like to pick on my friend Phil Henderson, Elvis' husband. And but I remember Phil, who was constantly with physical ailments and infirmities, and seemed like one thing after another, amen, and but God had brought Elva and Phil together to kind of help each other through. But I really loved the spirit of Phil, the heart of Phil. Not that Phil was a perfect man, but man, Phil was full of the joy of God, the life of Jesus. Amen. And what a blessing he was to be around. I mean, this guy, if he could make it to church, he'd crawl to church. Because he just loved the fellowship. He loved God's people. Amen. He loved to be in the presence of the Lord. He had a true hunger and a thirst for God. And I said, now that's how I want to be like when I grow up, you know. There's many other examples. I'm sure there's people you know in your own life, but we want to have that heart that is in such rest because we're at such peace with God, knowing that our God is with us. It doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than ours. Amen. But when we don't understand with our mind, we have to believe and trust that God's heart is good. His heart is good towards us. And he demonstrated for that, and that love for us at the cross, didn't he? Can a believer be under a curse? Can a Christian have a generational curse? Well, the Bible certainly says that curses are a reality. Amen. Remember when Moses met with God on Mount Sinai? Exodus 34 and verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. This is how the Lord first presented himself to Moses. Verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. By no means, though, clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So the first thing God does is reveals himself as a merciful, loving, amen, gracious, patient, loving father, a God, amen, that was really for him. But God also revealed to Moses that he hates sin because sin has consequences. Sin is destructive. Amen. Sin is a direct violation. Amen. Of God's will and God's word. And God wants the best for his people. He wants the best for you. His best is the best. His word is the best for you. But he said that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And so even today, guys, we see how sometimes parents, amen, either through their example or even through bloodline and things that have happened within the family line, some things get transferred to the children. Amen. I know in my family line, there's a lot of alcoholism from German and Irish ancestry. So there was a lot of that. And I know that I had the tendency naturally to become a drunk, you know. And there was a time when I was a drunk. And that thing I just kind of like fell into very easily. Began with just a little social drinking and then it became a party lifestyle. And now I'm getting drunk all the time. And I became bound by alcohol. But it was already there. And all I had to do is obey the wrong voice and be caught in that trap. Amen. And then that thing would be passed on. And the enemy wants to pass these things on generationally. We see that also with alcohol and drug babies, babies that are born. You know, because of the sins of the parents, the children end up as drug babies. Amen. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22, Balak, the king of the Moabites, summoned Balaam to curse Israel. So Balak hired the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. And though he was a heathen prophet, Balaam seemed to have some knowledge of the true God. And he even spoke with God. Balak repeatedly tried to get Balaam to curse Israel, if you remember. But he could not. In Numbers 22, verse 12, God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And again in Numbers 23 and verse 8, Balak continued to harass Balaam and try to get him to curse the people of God. But Balaam told Balak that he could only curse Israel by permission from the Lord of Israel. Verse 23 and verse 8, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? In other words, God alone could have pronounced or authorized a curse upon the people whom he had blessed, not the devil. You see, people always talking about, oh, well, I'm afraid of witchcraft. I'm afraid of hexes. I'm afraid of curses, these things that will come from, you know, people that are operating in the occult. And yet, if you look at the Bible, amen, God was the one that pronounced curses. And God was the one who could lift the curse. And people that are outside of Christ are vulnerable to these things because they're not protected. That's why you must be born again. Amen. You must be in Christ in order to be protected from these things. The good news is that in Christ, now hear me, all generational curses are canceled. I'm going to explain this. In Christ, all generational curses are canceled. We see the enemy uses lies to deceive Christians into thinking that they could have this, even when they've been redeemed, born again, have become a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell within them. The enemy will play mind games and try to tell us that we have this curse. And what you begin to believe and entertain is what you'll start to receive. You give permission to the enemy when you start to listen to him and believe his lies. But in Christ Jesus, we become a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. He's not here just to patch us up. He transforms us into new creations. Amen. And in the new creation, the devil does not have any permission over us. He can only operate in the realm of our flesh or our old nature. That's why our minds must be renewed. We have to have a transformation of our intellect, of our thinking, so that we start to think the thoughts that God thinks. We start to operate in the truth and quit listening to the liar. Romans 12:2. How many know this one? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word renewing of your mind means the renovation of your intellect. So my mind has to conform to the truth of what has taken place in me through the new birth. It's a truth war. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Guys, I'm not afraid of curses or hexes or witches or warlocks, lions and tigers and bears. Why? Because I'm in Christ. Amen. And Jesus has set me free from the curse. He set me free from the power of the devil. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's been reversed, and God has now authorized you and I in Christ to enforce what he's already accomplished for us at the cross. Amen. He has canceled out the curse. The curse has been broken by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't believe and you start listening to the lie, you'll start to receive something that's not true. And what you believe is what you're going to receive. We need to think the way God thinks. Let me ask you this. Do we see any instructions in the New Testament that relate to dealing with generational curses? See, this is something that God has just put me on a study. I've been pursuing and seeking him out about these things and searching the scripture. Now, what we do see is Christ redeeming us from the curse of sin in the New Testament. How many know when you're in Christ, you're in the new covenant? You're not under the old covenant. Amen. So you're not subject to these things, except you give permission by believing a lie to the enemy to come in and to deceive you into thinking, and he knows how to do it, that somehow you have these things. How many know that you can have, I don't know if they call it psychosomatic illnesses, where you know your mind is so wrapped up, I'm so afraid of catching something, that you start to have the symptoms of actually having it. And then scientists will say, well, there's nothing wrong with you. You see, that's how the enemy works. He wants to get us worried about things we have no control of. Worried about the future. Worried about what if. And next thing you know, you're anxious. You're having anxiety attacks because you're worried about what could happen. God says, stop worrying about it. I've got the future. I've got you. Trust me. It's through a knowledge of the truth that we become free from the lies of the devil. If you believe in a lie, then you give power to the lie to deceive you. If I believe I'm cursed, I give power to the enemy to trample on me. Yeah. Guys, I've got caught up in some things because I've studied, I've listened to preachers, I've listened to other people. I've got manuals, I got books, I got stuff on the shelf relating to spiritual warfare because I want to learn. Amen. But I found out the safest place to get your information is right here. Amen. If it's not in the book, throw it out. Because the enemy will have you going on these rabbit trails. Amen. And it's nothing to do. It's nothing that's been demonstrated or revealed through the word and the practice of the early church, the apostles, or even Jesus himself. And yet we've got these new revelations of ways we have to do things. Come on. How many have ever read something and believed it and acted on it and later found out it wasn't true? We're going to have an altar call here, right here and now. Praise God that we can learn and grow, amen, and become wiser. Through the truth, we'll know true liberty from the lie, amen. The enemy can't dupe you if you know what God says about it and what God says about you and who you are in the new creation and what has been accomplished in your life through the new birth and how that enemy has been cut off. That Pharaoh, amen, has been drowned in the sea. Hallelujah. So now we enforce what's already been accomplished for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And in the new birth, he authorizes us now to go in his name and to enforce that. Yeah. Through a knowledge of the truth, we become free. And you cannot live free until you believe you are free. You cannot be free until you believe you are free. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What does the word of God say? See, we can know it intellectually, but we need to know it internally. We need to digest it. Amen. We need to cherish it. We need to hide the word in our hearts. Amen. And know that what God says is always true. There's no lie. Amen. Amen. And if it ain't lining up, if the practice or the thing that people are talking about does not agree with the word of God. Amen. Throw it out. Don't go beyond the scripture. Now, God can give you a revelation. God can show you what to do in your life. God will give you instructions, amen, and decision making and things that you need to do in your life. He still speaks to us today, amen. But what God never does is contradicts his word, amen. We have a sure word of prophecy right here. Hallelujah. Here's the truth. We are blessed and not cursed in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's say it together. Blessed with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You cannot curse what God has blessed. Hallelujah. The truth is, I have authority now to trample on the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19, when Jesus gave instructions to his disciples, he said, what? Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. How much? All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that? Do we take the words of Jesus literally? Yes. So you cannot curse what God has blessed. How many know that hard times, tribulation, Temptations are not curses. Curse means to speak ill of or against, is to rail even sometimes, to slander someone, to gossip, to speak with contempt. Are you hearing me? It's to speak evil of or against. It is to wish evil or harm upon somebody. Rejection can also be a curse. Amen. If a person has been rejected by God, they're under the curse. We see that in the beginning. God cursed Satan. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. God also cursed Cain after he murdered his brother Abel. Genesis 4:11. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Now the good news is in Ephesians 2:13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We're not under the curse. We're under the blessing of God. I remember for a while, there was one particular couple that was, they still are part of us, by the way. They're just not here. They're listening online, so you know who you are. If you better be listening, by the way. They got in and they would come in and they would say, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? We're blessed and highly favored. They're confessing with their mouth what God says to be the reality of their life. My life is blessed. How about you? I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You can't curse what God has blessed. God is the one that authorizes that. Amen. And God is a good father. So don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to that lie and start to accept something that's not true as though it were. Don't let them deceive you. Speak the truth. Live the truth. Embrace it. Internalize the word. Amen. Till it becomes a part of you. Because of inherited sin, we were all once under the curse, naturally speaking, right? But now we are blessed in the Lord and we are free from the curse. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus took our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. So in Christ Jesus, we are made free from sin and every curse related to sin. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Because we're no longer in Adam. We're no longer in Adam, but we're in Christ. All in Christ live. Amen. In Adam, all die. But in Christ, we're made alive again. A new life. Hallelujah. Born again. We're a new creation in Christ. Again, that's why, guys, we should never be afraid or intimidated by our adversaries in the world who want to speak out against you. Let them speak. Let them say what they want. Amen. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Do the opposite of what they're doing. If they pronounce a curse, bless them back. Because you trump a curse with what? The blessing. And they can't really curse that which God has blessed. I'm not walking around. I don't care. They want to put blood. They want to put a dead animal at your doorstep. They want to do all this crazy stuff, you know. It's like, man. People are wasting their time. But listen, if the devil can convince you that somehow he can do these things to you, then he's going to get in your head and he's going to mess with you. And things that happen to you, you're going to begin to think that somehow it's related to that thing that was said or that curse that was pronounced. Are you hearing me? And so in your own mind, you can start to entertain these ungodly thoughts and actually have symptoms sometimes because of what you're believing to be true, even though it's not. You understand how important it is that we have faith in the Word of God. What God says is what we believe. Anything that doesn't agree with God's Word, it's garbage. We're made free. Well, I'm going to say it again, but if a person is not born again, then they're still in their Adamic natural state, then they are subject, amen, to Satan. Okay, and he can take them captive at his will, and people can put hexes and curses on people that are not inside the new covenant and protected by the blood of Christ. Amen. That's why people need to wake up and realize that you must be born again. If you want to be free from the power of darkness, amen, you need to come to Christ fully and fully surrender your life to him. Amen. When you are ready to fully surrender your life, you are ready for Jesus. You see, a lot of people don't fully surrender their life to Jesus. They just want to get out of a mess, but they don't want to give their life to God. But it wasn't until I surrendered my life to God that I was born again and I was set free. And I'm not walking around in fear or phobia or anxiety anymore. Amen. Because I know who's with me. I know who's for me. Hallelujah. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I've been authorized in Jesus' name to destroy the works of the devil. So have you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is, I love this, a what? New creation. New creation. Old things have passed away. And all things have become new. If I believe I'm cursed, again, I give power to the enemy to trample on me. And you cannot live free until you believe you are free. Hallelujah. Am I talking to a free people this morning? Yes. Amen. See, we need to change our attitude, change our mind, change our thinking. We need to repent. All right. And accept what God has said on our behalf. Amen. How many have ever had symptoms in your body that were related to things that you worried about? You get that pain in your side. Oh, I wonder if I got cancer. Are you hearing me? Have you ever been there? Have you done that? Or thought, well, how about this COVID thing? I'm thinking, man, I don't know how this thing is going around. I don't know what's going to happen. They had everybody believing everybody's going to die from it. You know? So I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you have to say about it? He said, live your life. You know, live your life. Live in the abundance of life I've given you. Amen. But then all of a sudden, you know, I can remember I did catch it, amen, and all of a sudden I'm laying in bed and I start to shake and I'm trembling, amen, and I'm like, oh my word, I've got this, and I got a vision of this, you know, this spore or whatever they call it, you know, of COVID. And I know it's real and I know people have died from it. Amen. So I'm not trying to trivialize it. I'm just saying is that the enemy immediately moves in with fear. And tries to exaggerate everything so that hopefully you'll bite into it and embrace it as if it's bigger than what God can handle. How many know that the Lord knows the number of our days? The Lord knows how long we're going to be in this world. Amen. I believe when it's time to go, it's time to go. Amen. So don't live your life in fear of worrying about what's going to happen to me. Let's just live our life for Jesus. Amen. When the Lord says it's time to come home, you're ready to go. But God be thanked. Romans 6:17, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You heard the word of your salvation. You heard the word of truth, and you obeyed it from your heart. And what? Having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Let's sing it. Stand up and sing it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Now let's tell Satan to take a hike. Amen. Say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, we reject you and we renounce you and we command you to go. Leave me and leave my family. In Jesus' name, I am a child of God. I am blood bought. I am the possession of Jesus Christ. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I am a child of God, redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we enforce and we conquer every giant of fear, of doubt, of unbelief by the sword of the Spirit. Amen. I am blessed and highly favored. Let's start practicing that. Let's start saying that. Amen. Hallelujah, because that's the reality. That is what is true. He's a good father, and a good father blesses their children. Amen? So God blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.